Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening, and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Turning Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast, the Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast, or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, I really recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hello, I'm Alan.
I am well again.
Hooray! And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we start our coverage of BattleBots Season 3.0!
Lights are on, the box is locked, it's robot talking time!
So this series is nuts. It took place over 6 days.
Oosh.
And yeah, so it was filmed in between May the 22nd and May the 28th, 2001. Now, officially, it's 20 episodes, but we were discussing this. It's not. It's 10.
So, you were saying it's essentially it's 20 episodes at half an hour length, but they've been lumped together to make 10 one-hour episodes?
Well, 45 minutes once the trailer's thing, well, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just including that because I'm just thinking of time blocks on TV.
Yeah.
And then you also kind of brought up, this was all just before we started, you also brought up Raw and how that used to be the same sort of thing of, like...
Yeah.
So, Raw used to be essentially 2 one-hour shows back-to-back. So it was Raw Zone for 1 hour. No, Raw's War for 1 hour, and then the War Zone for the second hour. And I wanted to wait until we got on to explain this to you. It's what would they do for that is what's better than having one highly rated TV show? Having two. So technically, they're the same show, but if you list them as two different things, then you get two highly rated shows.
Okay, that makes sense to someone.
Yeah, so when you look at the ratings after Raw and you see Raw's War is number 2 in the ratings, but then Warzone is number 1 in the ratings for that day, and it's like, wow, two WWE shows are like WWF shows are top of the ratings for Monday night, and it's like, I mean, it's the same show, but they're literally splitting it into 2 hours.
Yeah, so we're doing it as the ten weeks effectively. Which does mean, and I'm going to address this now because I know that I'll forget to do this in the actual episode.
Mm-hmm.
The final two episodes aired on the 11th of September 2001.
Oosh.
And of course, because it aired on that day specifically, and it's pre-recorded, it would have had absolutely no relation to what was going on that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's... I know it's... there was a television show that I watched. It came out in 2001, and it's the winner of that. It was like a reality show, and the winner of that was a fireman who died at 9/11.
And it's just Jesus Christ.
And I think it was like 3 days before the finale of that series aired. So, I mean, it's... I know that we joke about and we don't really take things seriously, but that is something that does actually need to be taken seriously. But we probably won't mention it on the actual episode. So to actually get onto the actual show that we're here to discuss, which thankfully is the show is night and day. It's amazing how much more the quality's improved in terms of the presentation. Like, there is still a couple of times that it's clear it's a Comedy Central show, but there is actually a degree of seriousness, mainly because of the amount of teams that are taking part. So,
yeah,
this series apparently has 500 robots in attendance.
Jeez.
So that's 125 robots per tournament on average.
But I mean, potentially, yeah.
I mean, in theory, in some of the tournaments, it is possible to win the tournament, you've got to win 8 matches.
Jesus.
Sorry, go ahead.
People thought the schedule of current BattleBots was trialing.
So,
but also, bear in mind also that the current BattleBots tapes over the span of about 2 weeks, maybe, and that you told us this was like, what, 6 days?
6 days. Now, the other...
So that means there's potential that some robots are definitely having to fight at least twice a day.
And the other thing as well with this event, so they filmed it in the home of BattleBots, San Francisco, which is where the series started. The tournament formats are just... I know that we previously, the last 2 times we've done BattleBots, we've done all the matches that don't make it to TV.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that because we would be here for hours.
Oy.
Because it's... To put it in perspective, so in the lightweight tournament... There are 2 rounds that don't make it to television. The round that they start showing into television, they start putting in, so there are some ranked robots. So these are robots that are returning from previous series.
Mm-hmm.
The ranked robots get put in the 3rd round. Some then get put in the 4th round. And then there are 3 more rounds after that.
So I'm assuming... The further that you went in the last tournament, probably the further you'll get put into this tournament?
Yes and no. I mean, there's some... For instance, in the middleweight, all the ranked robots get put in the 4th round.
Mm-hmm.
In the heavyweights, they're all in the 3rd round. In the super heavyweights, only Atomic Wedgie and Toro, which were the robot... Well, that's... One of the robots that was in the grand final and one of the robots that won the
melee?
The melee are the two that get put... start off in the 4th round. And then the lightweight's the one that has the most... Kind of... It has it in 2 tiers. And it is like robots like Ziggo, Toe Crusher, Gamma Raptor, Backlash that are in the later trench.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to depend on the tournament, which again depends on the amount of entries. So, as I said, we just can't even begin to cover the matches that just don't make it to air. Because we would just be there for a while. So we have a new main presenter, I think. So it's Tim Green and Bill Dwyer.
One letter off being Tom Green.
And we're also joined... So the Sklars and Bill Nye are back. And Tracy Bingham is now on as the female member of staff, because they can only have one for some reason.
Tracy.
Yes, and Tracy, she seems to at least be somewhat enthusiastic, though she is a bit... She's not Philippa Forrester, let's say, is the fairest way to put
it. No, but she definitely, like... Yeah, she definitely was a lot more enthusiastic than the last couple.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the first match we start off with is a match in the heavyweight tournament. And so this particular match, I'm just getting the details up on my screen now, is between Nightmare and Slam Job. Now, here's a weird thing. This took place in the third round of the tournament. There are matches that air after this. Mm-hmm. That took place in an earlier round.
Yeah, that's like quite often, because where they just play random matches from different levels.
So this particular match has... So Nightmare is one of the ranked robots in this tournament. It's the 8th ranked robot.
Mm-hmm.
Slam Job, on the other hand, has had to get through 2 fights to get here. It is a hammer. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, we get highlights of one of the matches just before this. Slam Job taking on Gangrene Weasel.
Yep.
Kind of almost hyping it up slightly. It's like, oh, well, it's fought to get here. Here's a quick look at it in action. And then it just slams Gangrene Weasel into the wall, flipping it over, can't get back. So it was like, kind of going into this, you're like, okay, right, well, Slam Job seems like a rookie, but seems to be
fairly,
like,
confident.
You know, one that the TV show might be kind of behind, because they're kind of showing a previous victory and talking it all up. So it steps into the ring with Nightmare. So you were going to give us the explanation of what Slam Job looks like?
So Slam Job is a hammerbot type design, kind of wedge with a hammer. The weapon of choice in this particular fight is a tire iron, which it's a crowbar, and its opponent.
I mean, what do you think the logic was for that? Do you think they were going to try and jam it into the disc or something?
Yes, I do think that was maybe the idea. So their opponent, Nightmare, which, for those who have not seen any battle bots of any kind...
I've probably seen Nightmare.
Nightmare is the enormous disc on wheels. I mean, it's an obscenely large disc.
Yeah, it's almost comical in a way how big the disc is.
They've built this fight up. It lasts about 13 seconds. The first time Nightmare's weapon hits Slam Job, it goes flying.
I just have in my notes that one hit and yeets.
And yeah, the front of Slam Job just disintegrates off the hit.
But the thing is, I don't know, did you notice this bit? Both of them broke down.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It broke Nightmare to do it.
Like, the wheels were buckled from the impact, so the shot was so hard that it literally knocked both robots out.
Yeah, but since Nightmare was still on its feet, it wins.
Yeah, I guess it probably won purely for the fact that it was the one on the offensive when the hit took.
So, yeah, so, also it's a great opening match because it's short and it's explosive. So, After
yeah,
that,
like considering this is the first episode, like you want people that are maybe curious to come in and just like right to the action. There you go. This is the kind of stuff you might end up seeing. The two robots just explode in seconds.
I mean, it's not like was it not series one? It was like we're going to show you one match, which is a slightly tepid Tentamushi match.
Yeah.
Which, no offense to Tentamushi, brilliant robot.
Yeah, from like. Absolutely. But you know, probably not the kind of robot that you would put in your one and only match of your first episode of BattleBots.
So we then get a look. Now that we've had a spectacular match, we have a look at the arena. So there's some new hazards. The original hazards they have, the kill saws, the spikes, and the Hellraisers are all now more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The pulverizer is 150 pound heavier. It's beefed up. They've got new pistons, which are basically like the floor spikes from Robot Wars.
Bastard spikes.
And finally, something that I've been looking forward to. The corkscrews have arrived!
This will be an interview with the hazard, Peter the hazard man I put down here. He says he used to ram his trains together when he was a kid, and now BattleBots is the next best thing to it. And it's like, I mean, surely we all probably rammed our trains together when we were kids.
I didn't, but that's because I didn't have any trains.
Ah. I know. Well, I suppose technically when I say trains, it's like I did have like all the Robot Wars, I guess, action figures, for lack of a better term, growing up. So yeah. I just rammed all those together.
Yeah, absolutely. Or your Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah.
So.
The kind of random Hot Wheels cars and all that I used as robots as well.
So the next match we have is a lightweight match.
So we'll move on to the next match.
Yep. So the second match is a lightweight match.
We had Shishkabot 1.1.
Which is ranked 19.
And his opponent, Trillobot.
So whilst Trillobot is a rookie in this division, it's for the same team that made Disposable Hero.
Ah, well, it shows. It's made out of the same material.
So, I really don't remember either of these two robots that well. One of them is a wedge, and the other is a wedge with spikes. And both of them are quite big for lightweights.
Yeah, relatively. Shishkabot, I think I remember the name of more than the actual robot, just because it's a funny name.
Yes. And this battle is basically...
If you can call it that.
Yeah, basically, Trilobot bibbles around, not really doing much. And then Shishkabot, for no discernible reason, decides to drive under the pulverizer, and the pulverizer, the pulverizer grinds it to a paste. It's actually quite horrible to watch.
Like, I was about to spread some Shishkabot on toast at the end of this match because it was so pasty.
Oh, it is. It's completely cratered.
But the thing is, I feel like Trilobot as well broke down, and it was just lucky that Shishkabot kind of drove itself to death.
And, yeah, with that being the case, it means that by default, the best type of victory, Trilobot wins.
Default.
Which means that...
Yeah, the only other note I kind of had for this was Shishkabot had a Barbie torso on it, just continuing the ongoing theme of disembodied dolls and robots. Why?
But yeah, so this was a third round match. We then get a more in-depth interview with Tracy Bingham, where she's enthusiastic about BattleBots without giving any sort of detail that you'd have to give if you actually knew anything about BattleBots.
But she does love big nuts.
I'm just going to leave that there. So
I wasn't going to elaborate further.
So we then get into a super heavyweight match, and this is the last match of the first episode as such.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first, if this was airing in the UK, which I believe this series did, this mm-hmm. would be your main event as Minion, which...
Or it would be your first half main event if we're looking at it from the hour perspective.
Yep. So Minion, which somehow is ranked the number one super heavyweight, even though it's not even the latest entering returning robot, because Toro and Atomic Wedgie come in the round after it.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, and didn't Minion, like, lose quite badly last year?
Yeah. So I don't know how exactly this has all been worked out, but for some reason, Minion is ranked number one and not Dissector.
Hmm. This is getting very Morrissey kind of vibes.
Also, Dissector gets entered in this round, which is a round earlier than Toro and Atomic Wedgie, which this is all getting very weird.
I'm trying to think of, like, where would the logic be behind that, unless it is purely for the fact that maybe the TV producers find Atomic Wedgie and Tauros to be more exciting robots.
Yeah. So, anyway. So it's Minion versus Ogre. Minion, it's the same setup we've seen before. Six-wheeled giant wedge, enormous saw. And its opponent is Ogre, which is a spiked four-wheel inversible robot. And mm-hmm. Ogre costs $2,000, which is obscene for a robot, even back then. Minion costs $20,000.
Oof.
I mean, I know that's in dollars, not pounds, but still, fuck me.
That's still a lot of money.
And it's not even like the blade runs for that long.
It does look much more solid this year.
Absolutely.
For the short period, it does work.
So, these two robots spend the first kind of half of the match colliding. Ogre has the camera on it for the audience, and every time it hits, the camera goes wonky because they're hitting it all that hard. It is.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where if you have, like, some kind of, like, I don't know, epilepsy or, like...
Oh, God, I...
Travel sickness or anything like that. This isn't the match for you.
So, what ends up happening is the two robots start using different tactics. So the Minion keeps on trying to use the blade until it dies. Ogre is...
Yeah, the belt fell off.
Yeah, I think it's caught on a kill saw or something like that.
It wasn't even a kill saw. It was the weird, what are those things, the big metal stick thingies that come up. Just
the ramrods.
The pistons, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Like the big, thick, like steel cylinders. Just one of them comes up at this weird moment, and then all of a sudden you just see the bell just fly off the desk, and I was like, how of all the weapons that are in the battle box was that the one that destroyed the saw?
Maybe Minion's got a bit of Behemoth's curse.
Oh, it's definitely starting to feel it. If there's a clip out there of Christian Colbert saying, "Ah, oh, dang it," or something like that,
yeah,
we might need to reprise that noise.
Oh no, I'm just using the Behemoth off one. I might. So Minion is the more maneuverable, but Ogre is much more aggressive. And after it loses the blade, Ogre starts to be the stronger robot in the fight.
Yeah, it starts to take over.
And by the end of the match, Ogre's finished the match much, much stronger. I mean, it's done an amazing job to get here. It's already beaten two other robots. It's a split decision 23-22, which I can see it being that close.
Well, you mentioned that Ogre ends a match quicker, but I feel like we should mention the way that it ends on top, because it spikes the side of Minion and gets so close to just brute force flipping it over with the spikes.
Yes. Oh, it's
And
amazing.
yeah, it's like, because like Minion is up on like one side, all wheels off the floor, and Ogre, I was about to say onion, but I suppose,
Shrek.
ogres are like onions,
Yep.
so Ogre is then like driving, and its front two wheels are also off the ground, so it's only driving and its back two wheels trying to push Minion over, so it's like almost taking itself off the floor as well.
So the result goes 23-22 to Minion. The crowd is not happy about it.
No.
They interviewed, I'm going to get his name wrong, Nightmare Jim.
Jim Smentowski.
Him. He thinks, because they interview him about Nightmare, and he mentions, I think Minion probably shouldn't have won that. I think Ogre had that match. We actually get a
Yeah,
break.
he could have says, yeah, I think the refs were watching a different match than I was.
We actually get a breakdown of the scoring, so it's 15 points for
Each of the three
for each
categories.
of the three categories. Minion won on damage and aggression, and Ogre won on strategy. And that's how
But yeah, the
the
rest of it
result was
was
decided.
really close.
But yeah, I think
I like this though, the fact that they're actually giving us
how it's judged,
breakdowns.
absolutely. No, absolutely. I think that's important, and I can see why Minion would have won on damage. I could maybe see the argument of aggression. I think both robots were very aggressive, and I can see how Ogre won on strategy. But yeah, it's a strange result. I know that there is certainly talking of in later series of BattleBots there is a little bit of producer fuckery. I don't know if this is producer fuckery. It's bordering on it.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing though, is like Minion was on top for the first half of the match, and
Yeah.
then the momentum swung. So if Minion was looking crap the whole match, yes, I can see the argument. So I'd say here it was just, probably as fair could be. Ogre looked good at the end, but maybe just needed a couple more
Yeah.
seconds of looking good to maybe have swayed the judges a bit more. It's just one of these things. Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of the Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
lots and lots and lots of Batman.
you can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. So, after that, Matt, we meet the mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown. I will double-check what he's doing now. Actually, yeah, well, he's the former mayor of San Francisco. He's 87 years old. He's still around.
Wow. Yeah, good to see you still about.
Okie dokie. So, we then get...
It's time for your BattleBots update!
Yes, because some of the matches get shown, not all of them. So
yeah, so we get an update on three matches that happened previously with Herge Pounding. I'm just going to go with that. Took on Scrub Daddy Surplus with Herge Pounding getting the victory.
Then in the heavyweight division, Son of Waiachi. Defeated Crabmeat. I mean, I don't know why they keep on mentioning the Son of Waiachi robot. I mean, I don't think we'll hear anything more from this robot or this team. I don't think they do anything controversial or interesting at all.
It's never going to amount to anything.
I mean, it's a shuffle bot, for fuck's sake.
And then the third match, we had Dissector versus Scrap Daddy Turbulence, which is a match that I actually found on YouTube.
And this explains why Dissector was let in around early, just to get rid of a Scrap Daddy.
Yeah, two Scrap Daddies go out in Surplus and Turbulence. At least they had slightly cooler names this year than they did last year.
Yes.
And they all had different designs, so I'll give them that. But Dissector caught Scrap Daddy on the spike strip and then just started bludgeoning it with its hammers. And then just over a minute and a half of action, Scrap Daddy is counted out.
So we move on to episode 2. Not that you would know it from anything that we watch. So we have two matches in this episode. Starting off with a middleweight battle between Turbo, which is ranked number 9, and the rookie, Double Agent. So, Double Agent went through Armadillo, Scheduled for Destruction, and Cerberus. So it's killing both real and mythical monsters.
Cerberus from Robot Wars?
I think it's a different Cerberus, unfortunately.
Ah, good. Different.
I think so. I mean, it might be the same robot. I don't know.
No, I doubt it. I feel like we would have heard by now if Cerberus was in BattleBots.
Yep. Well, it's... I'll get back to... Because there's a... Obviously, they're still doing the videos of, like, let's do an examination of the teams. And then they do an examination of, I think it's people from MIT. And then they just go... Oh, and they're already out of the field.
Yeah. I think it's at the end of maybe this episode. Yeah, it is actually. It's after the final fight.
Yeah. So Turbo is a full body spinner. Whilst Double Agent is an invertible wedge bot in bright green.
Yes, but it's learned from the design of robots such as Bad Attitude by having a wedge on either side, so that when it gets flipped over, it still has a wedge.
So it's like Angel of Death, was that called? The purple robot from Robot Wars Series 2 that had to be pulled along on a string.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So...
Yeah, I think that was... Wait... Was that the one that was pulled along? Was that not...
The Parthian shot? I don't know. I don't care.
Because that was the one that was broken down. At least Angel of Death could move and made it into the gauntlet, which Parthian shot couldn't.
So, at first,
season two.
At first, Turbo. Now it doesn't quite seem stable, but it does. Every time Double Agent tries to get near it, it takes chunks off it.
Yeah, like the first time it spun up and almost just kind of took off.
So, what ends up happening, Turbo after a while starts to smoke, and you see the moment that Double Agent goes, it stops spinning, attack! It pushes Turbo onto a kill saw, and the kill saw hits it perfectly.
Oh.
And the full spotted shell goes yeeting into the sky.
Bloop. It did start taking off then, yeah.
And so, yeah.
And then the most saddest thing, that it's not the only time that this happens in BattleBots history, when the shell of a full body spinner comes off and then the insides still try and with no weapon
and no armor, and then Double Agent goes, "You have no armor. I wonder what happens if someone dropped a pulverizer on you."
And then I think as Bill DeWire comes in with a quite witty line of, "Oh well, we got to admit, Turbo has guts because I can see them lying all over the battle box."
Yes.
After the match is over, I think it's Bill DeWire, makes a Vader reference, and I'm like, is it Darth Vader or
Darth
fat
Vader.
Piece of shit wrestler?
Darth Vader, definitely Darth Vader. So.
And the only reason I call him fat piece of shit is because of his infamous interview after a pay-per-view match once where he just goes, "I'm just a fat piece of shit."
Yep. Because that's how you get over your big monster. So, speaking of big, heavy monsters, we have...
Ah, World Peace, my favourite.
Yeah, so we have two returning robots. Now, World Peace had to win another match to get here. So it beat.
Wait, World Peace won a match?
Yes, World Peace defeated the Junkyard Cog.
I mean, points for the name.
So, World Peace is a giant. It's basically what would happen if you bred Vercingetorix with Sir Killalot. It is the shape of Vercingetorix with a giant claw on the front that lifts.
I feel like if we thought slightly harder, we could probably get a robot that wasn't as good as Sir Killalot to be the claw.
Sergeant Bash.
Yeah, there you go.
So, its opponent...
I just felt like you were doing a bit too much injustice by saying that Sir Killalot would have sex with Vercingetorix.
Well, he did like mounting other robots.
True, and I think he probably did finger Vercingetorix at least once or twice on the occasion. But
he was constantly penetrating with his lance.
Yes. Oh, yeah, well... You know what, you got me there. There is video proof of Sir Killalot actually penetrating. Yeah. Hmm.
So, anyway. I'm kind of disappointed mine doesn't spin now. Oh, that's getting cut out. That's disgusting.
Jesus.
His opponent is Toro, which is a enormous flipper bot. It's got this weird shape of the sort of it ramps up and then it's a flat edge with a very tiny flipping area at the bottom.
Yeah. It's like original Exterminator.
Yeah, that sort of size. This battle, the breakdown, the reason that Toro went out so early last year is they were tying down their battery with plastic cable ties, And now they thought, uh-huh, maybe we should put it in some sort of cage.
Hmm. Noble concept.
So this is one of these battles where Toro spends a while trying to get underneath World Peace. Once it does, it rips some of the skirt of World Peace off. It gets, mm-hmm, a few massive flips, but then they all cause them to land back on their feet.
Yeah, just keeps 360 on them, just boom, whoop, back on the wheels.
And then finally, it gets the perfect flip. It gets World Peace. World Peace is over.
Yep, just like Homer Simpson says. Like, it's very selfish of you for oh my god, what was the reference? The monkey's paw.
Yep.
Fucked it. Never mind. Cut all out.
No.
We all know that Homer Simpson didn't like World Peace.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Hold it.
So.
All in one try, right?
Oh, don't worry, I'll cut out that bit to make you look good, mate.
never keep that bit and it'll be saying one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the claw left on World Peace is not strong enough to save itself.
No.
I can just keep on going with these jokes. So Toro is victorious. And that is
a bit disappointed it didn't have its bullhorns on.
Yeah. And then the ending of this episode is really weird.
Right. We've got a few things after this fight. So first of all, we get Bill going back to his old university to see a robot that they're building called Nibbler, and then we come back to the commentary team and the other dude, Tim, says, oh, so will we be seeing Nibbler in action soon? And Bill's like, no, he's already been eliminated.
Yep. So this happens twice then, because this also happens in the third episode.
Yeah, like, why did they keep doing this?
Yeah.
At least let the robots that they're going to highlight have a match before you tell us that they're out.
Absolutely. So we get some.
But then, have we got another BattleBots update?
We do, but before that we get some. Actually, no, I don't. Do we? We get a few recommendations of these are robots to check out.
Yeah, because the thing is, I think it has to be here, because I haven't taken a note of when the episode splits, so that's why I'm getting confused, but I'm pretty sure it's here get the second BattleBots update.
Is that with Mauler 5150?
No.
Okay, no, so there's
no... Right, okay. Oh, well, good. That works even better for me then, because also it has a match that we could find on YouTube, which I watched, so
okay,
I'll give a quick rundown of it. So.
Right, if you want to go through... So they have, like, three more... These are results that have happened so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take... Right, go ahead.
I'll just start from the... Oh, we got a second BattleBots update before we go, as T-Minus and Bumper Bot went at it, and T-Minus coming out with a victory. Twin Paradox took on Thwack, with Thwack taking the victory. And then we had Dr. Inferno Jr. taking on Blood Dragon, which again is a match you can see on YouTube. So I watched it and run down quickly here. So there was a good early slam from Inferno, and even started using the saw that it has, which I thought would have been useless because of where it was positioned.
Yeah.
Inferno uses the hammer to great effect as Blood Dragon very slowly begins to tire. Inferno takes Blood Dragon for a ride around the box. Dragon managed to get in one good foot and we went to the judges with that. Because obviously this was one of those unaired, unedited videos, we actually get like a shot of the three judges discussing their decision.
Yep.
Which I thought was quite interesting. So if you get a chance to go back and watch this fight, just even purely for that, it's quite an interesting little discussion. And we get a 40-5 decision for Dr. Inferno Jr. taking the victory.
Yep. So that's what we have in terms of the previous results. We also get some robots that we are recommended to follow, which include Wacker and Gamma Raptor from the lightweight division, T-Minus and Sunshine Lollipop from the middleweights, Mecha Borg, which is a heavyweight, which I think they're right on that one, and Sharkbite. And in the superweight, heavyweight, we get recommendations for Techno Destructo, Yasha, and Waiachi, which is the super heavyweight version of Son of Waiachi. Which we saw in the heavyweight tournament.
Yeah, but how long are we going to see them for, really?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's... I mean, again, it's a shuffle bot. Shuffle bots are ridiculous.
He'll never amend to anything.
Anyway, that is the end of our coverage of the first week of BattleBots. We'll be back next week with episode 2, which is actually episode 3. Including the return.
And do you know what we have next week?
What do we have next week?
Do you know what we have next week? We have another Shufflebot, just to go on to continue to prove that Shufflebots are no good.
Absolutely.
All that and more next week on Rise of the Robots.